Welcome back to the Graham Stephan Show. My name is Graham, and welcome to my show. And today we're going to be speaking with Peter, who is a lawyer making over $300,000 a year, yet really has not been into personal finance, has not really saved any of that money, wants some advice about how to further his savings, and also what he could do as a side hustle to make more money. So with that, I'm going to share all of my secrets about side hustles, how to make money, how to save money, and let's bring him on the show. So Peter, welcome to the Graham Stephan Show. What's going on?
Hey, Graham. Thanks very much for taking my call.
You got it, man. What's up?
So I was hoping to get your advice about my rent. Maybe I'll sketch out some background and then just get your thoughts on the situation.
Cool.
So I am an associate at a big law firm in Washington, D.C. It's a great job. Enjoy the work. Current salary is $320,000, and that increases every year with seniority. Now, I have never really spent much time thinking about personal finance, but I recently went through a rough breakup, and now that it's just me, decided to finally get my finances in order. So I've watched your videos, made a budget, paid down most of my student debt, and I've shaved off a lot of my expenses.
Okay.
And that leads me to my question for you. When my ex moved out, she left me with our one-bedroom apartment, which costs $2,800 a month. Now, I love the apartment, rent-controlled, water and gas included, there's gym, pool. Right now, it's about 22% of my take-home pay, but $2,800 is still a lot, right? So I wanted to get your thoughts on whether I should stay put or whether you think I need to look for something else with lower rent.
I mean, here's the thing. How happy are you there? I mean, is living in this apartment going to make you a happier person who's then going to be doing better at work? And then because of that, you're going to end up making more money? Because I've definitely seen it where if you're in a really nice spot or if you're in a spot that inspires you creatively where you're happy, you're going to end up doing so much better in so many other areas as well. But if it's not that sort of place and it's just purely extravagance and you don't need it and you could be just as happy somewhere else for spending, let's say, $1,800 a month, then that's something I think that's worth considering.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, I think it is the sort of place that does make me happy. I just wasn't sure whether that much on rent is too much to be paying for one bedroom.
It really depends. Like, you tell me $2,800 a month for a one-bedroom here in Los Angeles. Like, you say that in Santa Monica, and I'm like, whoa, that's a really good price. Wow, you're only $2,800. And I'm thinking, like, wow, that's a really good deal. You say, like, you know, $2,800 a month, one-bedroom Manhattan. I'm like, whoa, that's a really great price. You say, you know, that in, like, you know, Detroit, and I'm like, dude, you could go and get, like, a seven-bedroom house for $2,800 a month. So it really depends where and what the market value is. I mean, what would be in that area? Like, where are you located?
I'm in Washington, D.C., so the rent is pretty high here as well.
So what would be the cost of, like a normal one-bedroom? If you're going to go and, like, move down, save some money, how much would that be?
I've probably seen them between $2,000 and $2,500. So it would be a savings, but then I have to move, and that's no fun at all, and, you know, everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, people underestimate the amount of time and work and stress it takes to go and move. It's a daunting task. It's terrible. It's one of the worst things you could do is move. I can't stand it. So plus just the cost associated with that of just, you know, either hiring movers or it's going to be like your entire weekend is spent up that you could be doing something else, making other money elsewhere. So, I mean, here's the thing. I think it could be worth it if you're saving, like, if you're going to be saving, like, $1,000 a month and being just as happy, I would say it's absolutely worth it. Pick up and move and do it. But to save a few hundred dollars and go through that in a place where you're already right now pretty happy, I mean, I would probably lean, like, you have the money right now to be able to go and afford this. You know, I understand it's 22% of what you make, but you're making a decent amount of money, and for the area, and given that you're already there, I don't think it's the end of the world.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, there's one other wrinkle that I wanted to get your thoughts on. So I'm making a great salary right now. Starting later this year, I'm going to be taking a one-year pay cut, and the reason for that is I will be clerking for a federal judge here in Washington. You talk about self-improvement and investing in yourself. It's a sort of career move that will pay off long term, but there's definitely an opportunity cost. I'll be making about $100,000 during that year. Now, I've worked out all the numbers. I'll be able to cover my expenses. There won't be that much margin, But during that year, the rent would be about 54% of my new salary. Does that change anything in your mind, considering it's just a
Yikes. I
year
mean,
and after the year, I'll be back making about 360 with a 50,000 signing bonus?
how guaranteed is that salary after a year?
100%.
Then I don't see an issue with you temporarily paying an absurd amount in rent, knowing that 100% you're going to be going back to a much higher salary. How much do you currently have right now in savings? Like how much are you otherwise saving right now?
Yeah, I'm putting everything toward my student loans right now. So I have a $20,000 emergency fund. It's actually, I opened a VIO bank account like you suggested,
Cool.
high yield. And I also opened the preposterously named Redneck Bank checking.
You did it. There we go. It's good, isn't it?
I am embarrassed about my debit card with the horse on the front of it, but I love the 1.75% interest rate. Can't
It's
compare.
good. It's good. That was one of those banks where I saw it. I'm like, there's no way this is real. And you start looking into it, like, how is no one else talking about this bank? For anyone who's interested, it's called Redneck Bank. Kid you not, Redneck Bank, and they have like a little fly on the main side. It's such a wonky looking bank, but they're actually pretty decent. I've done a lot of research. This is one of those top rated banks that no one really talks about. I don't have an affiliate link. I have nothing affiliated with them, but yeah, they're really good.
They're really good. So yeah, I have about 20,000 emergency funds stashed away there, and then just been throwing everything else at the student loans. I have about 55,000 left in law school debt, which again, the signing bonus after I start my private sector job will kill the rest of that easy.
Gotcha. What are you student loans at right now? What interest rate?
Just refinance at 3.9%.
That's not bad. And do you think how long is the 20,000 going to be lasting you?
Well, hopefully I won't have to dip into it at all.
But if something were to happen, how long? How many months is that for you?
Yeah, that's 3 to 4 months.
3 to 4. I would almost recommend beefing that up just a little bit more, even though, because your student loans at, just under 4% is not terrible. I would almost say it might be worth it. Cut back on that briefly, beef up the emergency fund just a little bit, and split that between the two to have just a slightly larger emergency fund, especially if so much of your money over the next year is going to be going towards rent. I would probably just recommend to have a little bit more in savings during the time where you're going to be earning less money. I just think it's more important at that time just to have a bit more of a buffer, just should something happen. Here's the thing too,
That makes a lot of sense.
it's also just having a little bit more liquidity in the sense of if you end up finding like a really good investment or really something comes up, the stock market just goes crazy, drops to these levels, and you're like, I wish I had more money available to me, and I don't. It's either my emergency fund or nothing. I would want you to have just a little bit more liquidity because I mean, paying down a student loan at 3.9% is good, but I think during a time like this and during a time of lowered income, I think it's more important to have extra cash on hand just in case.
Yeah, I totally get that. That makes a lot of sense. One last question, if that's okay. Speaking of getting in extra cash, so I know I'm going into a lower salary, looking for side ways to earn money. So I've been doing focus groups and churning and credit card churning, all of that. I am also thinking about starting a side business. So consulting for law students and college students trying to get into law school, like career tutoring, that kind of thing. I was wondering if you had any good books or resources that you would recommend for someone who's starting to get into that sort of business.
I don't have any book recommendations or anything. As far as I'm aware, I have not seen any like good book recommendations for consulting or anything like that. I would almost suggest probably any sort of job posting or Facebook would probably be the best, or any sort of networking groups that you could be a part of, or any sort of study groups that you could be a part of for this. I think that would be tremendous. I'm sure there are also some tutoring websites where you would be able to post up your profile and see if anyone would be able to take you on that. I think that would be a great use of your time. Way more than
Okay,
I think
glad to
focus,
hear.
way more than focus groups. I mean, how much would you be able to charge? Like, 100, 150 an hour? I don't
think
know.
So,
I know
probably.
Yeah, right? So I think that's a way better use of it. I mean, credit card churning is just fun. So I'd recommend you keep doing that. You could look into bank account churning. It's a bit more of a hassle. I don't know if that's going to be worth your time or not for a few hundred bucks, depending on how much money you're moving around. It might not be worth your time. But I think this absolutely is something that I would pursue and do.
Okay, I will do that. Thanks for the encouragement.
Cool. You're welcome. Was there anything else?
No, that is all. I'm going to go enjoy a 10-cent cappuccino.
There we go. I got my 20-cent coffee right here.
Cool. Thanks
Have
so much.
Have a good one, man. Thanks. Bye.
You too. Bye.
So with that said, you guys, thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it. As always, if you have not already subscribed, make sure to subscribe, hit the notification bell. Feel free to add me on Instagram. Posts are pretty much daily, so if you want to be a part of it there, feel free to add me there. And lastly, if you guys want those two free stocks, use the link down below in the description. Webull is going to be giving you two free stocks when you sign up on their platform and deposit $100. And one of the stocks is going to be valued up to $1,400. That's right. Just for a few minutes worth of work, you might be able to get a stock worth a lot of money. So with that said, use that link down below. Let me know which two free stocks you get. Thank you so much for watching, and until next time.